Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ivor Benjamin, and it's my pleasure to be able to present tonight a new adaptation of Carol Čapek's play R.U.R., Rossum's Universal Robots. Čapek wrote the play in 1920. He was a prolific author and wrote several other plays and short stories that could be described as science fiction, but R.U.R. is definitely the piece that cemented his place in sci-fi history by inventing the word robot. Robot comes from the Czech and Old Russian robota, meaning something like forced labour, and referring to dull, repetitive work. Like all good science fiction, there's a strong dramatic metaphor at work. In Čapek's case, the growing conflict between communism and capitalism in the aftermath of the First World War. And like much science fiction, R.U.R. has outlived its original politics to take new resonance in a new century, as the cloning and nanotechnologies he described so fancifully and sketchily looked like being realized. For Čapek's robots are not metal people, but wetware, much more like the androids, say, in Blade Runner or Alien. This new version of R.U.R. is updated to a near future that matches the one that Čapek originally wrote of, not so far from our own present day. If you know R.U.R., you'll notice some characters have been merged, some have been cut, and plot sequences have been moved around a little, but the basics are still there. So please sit and enjoy the reading. It is my pleasure to introduce you to our actors: Ben Moore, Richard Turner, Tiffany Wood, Phil Mann, Tamsin Aitken, and Jan Goodman. I shall be taking a small part as a stroppy robot. So, with great thanks to Louis Savvy and to Sci-Fi London Film Festival and to the British Library for getting us all here tonight, the scene is set in the original Czech text thus. Original 1920s stage directions. Central office of the factory of R.U.R., Rossum's Universal Robots. Entrance on the right. The windows on the front wall look out on the rows of factory chimneys. On the left, more managing departments. Roy Domin, the managing director of R.U.R., is sitting in a revolving chair at a large American writing table. On the left-hand wall, large maps show steamship routes and railroads. On the right-hand wall are fastened printed placards, robots cheapest labor, etc. In contrast to these wall fittings, the floor is covered with a splendid Turkish carpet, a sofa, a leather armchair, and filing cabinets. Now forget all of that. In an airy, clean, white, modern office sits Roy Domin, CEO of Rossum's Universal Robots. He is surprisingly young for the position and sharply dressed in a grey suit and open-neck shirt. A beautifully designed gas flame fire burns in the background beneath two huge colour screens displaying the two founders and a presentation case containing two battered old notebooks on glass stands. Domin is dictating into thin air, whilst his secretary, Sulla, is massaging his back. Sulla is achingly beautiful and strangely devoid of emotion.
Harder.
Yes, master.
Mail to the E.B. Hudson Agency, New York, USA. We beg to acknowledge the cancellation of your order for 50,000 units. Please dispatch equivalent quantities of hydrogen fuel cells and ultracapacitors for R.U.R. The same to be credited as penalty payment. For R.U.R., yours truly, etc. Oh, that was good. Do that some more.
Yes, master.
Mail to the E.M. McVickers Avro & Co., Southampton, England. We undertook no guarantee for goods damaged in transit. As soon as the consignment was taken on board, we drew your captain's attention to the fact that your vessels were unsuitable for unit transport, and therefore we will not be held responsible for spoiled freight. For R.U.R., yours truly, etc.
Sulla is massaging his hair.
Oh, yes, now you're really distracting me.
Enter Robert Alquist in a hurry. He is an elderly, organised and slightly worried man in working clothes.
Roy!
What's happened? Wait outside, my dear.
Yes, master.
Another one's caught it. Smashed up the lobby, frothing at the mouth, gone quite mad.
Which one?
The one in charge of the library.
Radius?
Yeah, him. Roy, I'm getting scared of the buggers more than spiders, and I've seen some nasty spiders. And you're just as scared as me.
I'm not scared.
You're bloody scared. Even my dog's scared. Won't take a scrap from their hands no more. Just draws in his tail and howls when they're about.
Your dog's a retard.
He's better than them, and he knows it. They can't have kids. I've got kids. Everyone has kids.
Yes, but they can't have kids, because that's the point. Now, calm down.
Enter Professor Halle Gall in a hurry. She is a formidable scientist in a lab coat and spectacles. Her hair is tied back tightly, and she wears only a trace of makeup, but a very disapproving expression. She carries a tablet, probably an iPad 42.
Roy.
What is it now?
Your submarine is in the harbour. The Ultimus. They're unloading it. And the news is back up. It's much worse. Riots in Spain, and there's war in the Balkans.
There's always war in the Balkans.
Yeah, what did you expect? Why did you sell thousands of them as soldiers?
Because that's our job, Alquist. When an order comes in, we make them and we sell them. It's what we do.
Robot soldiers spared nobody in the occupied territory around Srebrenica and murdered over 7,000...
Let me see that. Murdered over 7,000 humans at the order of their robot commander.
And here, riots in Madrid. Robot infantry fires on crowd. 9,000 killed and wounded.
They're just doing what they're told, Hallie. It's the human commanders. It's all media lies. You of all people know robots can't do that. It doesn't make sense.
Well, they say they have. And there's more. Worse.
Worse than a robot revolution?
There isn't any robot revolution.
Shock human population statistics.
Let me see. Second week. During the past week, not a single birth recorded. I'm not getting this at all. When did this happen?
Roy, we've had falling population for years. Increased solar radiation, estrogens in plastics and genetically engineered food, male fertility plummeting. Well, now, no more humans are being born.
Well, that's the end then. We've had it.
It's just rubbish. They're trying to sell advertising space.
It's a punishment.
Alquist, pull yourself together.
I've got kids.
They'll be fine.
Sulla enters.
What is it?
A lady, Master, from the submarine, asking to see you.
A lady? Who?
She has top security clearance.
Oh, yes, her. Go. Go and ask her to come up.
Yes, Master.
Sulla exits.
Master? Oh, for pity's sake, Roy.
Oh, it's just a bit of fun. Now, if you'll excuse me, we have a guest. Helena Glory.
Who?
Helena Glory.
Helena Glory is here? Here?
Yes. Is this a problem?
God, Domin, why didn't you say so? I can't let her see me like this. Alquist, come on. Get yourself out of those filthy clothes.
They exit in a panic. Domin straightens his hair as Sulla returns with Helena Glory. She's young, in her late teens, dressed casually and as ravishingly beautiful as she is kind, cultured, patient and caring, for all the world a Princess Diana or Catherine for the 21st century.
Please, this way. Mr. Domin, how do you do?
How do you do?
You're Mr. Domin, the managing director.
CEO. Yes, I am.
President Glory is my father. I'm Helena Glory.
Miss Glory, such an honour. A great honour for us to be allowed to welcome our great president's daughter. Welcome to RUR. Rossum's Universal Robots. Please, please, sit down. Sulla, my dear, you may go.
Yes, Master.
Not now, Sulla.
Exit Sulla.
So, how can I be of service to you, Miss Glory?
I have come...
to have a look at our famous robot works, like all our visitors. Well, I have no objection.
I thought it was forbidden...
to enter the factory, yes, yes. The manufacture is a highly confidential process.
Oh, if only you knew how enormously that...
interests you,
speaking.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Did you wish to say something different?
I only wanted to ask...
whether I could make a special exception in your case and show you our factory. Of course, Miss Glory.
How did you know I wanted to say that?
Everyone does. And I shall consider it a special honour to show you far more than we do the rest.
Thank you.
But you must agree not to divulge the least.
My word of honour. Beg your pardon?
Yes?
Do you mind?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
You have to be so cautious here, don't you? What is the matter?
I'm thrilled, honoured. a little nervous, of course.
Why?
Well, what I mean to say is you're so young. You will make it a long stay, won't you?
Well, that depends on how much... factory, you show me.
Oh, sod the factory. No, don't sod it, don't sod it. Please, yes, you'll see everything, Miss Glory, everything. But please, sit down first.
Why?
Well, wouldn't you like to hear the story of the invention?
Oh, I've heard it before.
Well, at school.
Ah, but not the true story. Wouldn't you like to hear the real story? The secret one they never tell?
Yes. Well, I would.
You're too young to remember the Obama Robotics Directive of 2012. It was a big push in the West to invent robot labour that could compete directly with cheap human labour. Now, robot is a word invented by a European writer more than 100 years ago, or rather by his brother, in the pub. It's from an old Russian word, robota, meaning work like a slave. But I bet you knew that.
Yes, I did.
So, it was in the year 2017 that Rossum Sr., then a young scientist, found himself on this very island studying ocean fauna. Using cells from rare deep-sea bacteria, he began trying to clone living tissue by chemical synthesis. And 15 years later, he discovered a substance which behaved almost but not quite exactly like living tissue, although its chemical composition was totally different.
I know that bit.
Domin walks to the locked glass wall cabinet, unlocks it with a key from his pocket, and takes down two battered old books.
And then, Miss Glory, old Rossum wrote the following in this very notebook. Take a look at this.
Nature has found only one method of organising living matter. There is, however, another method, more simple, flexible and rapid, which has not yet occurred in nature at all. This process by which life can be developed was discovered by me today.
You are holding in your hands the origin of robot life itself, Rossum's notes. Now imagine him, Miss Glory, old Rossum writing those words over some colloidal grey mess that a dog wouldn't look at. Imagine him sitting over a test tube, thinking how the whole tree of life could grow from it, beginning with some sort of globby, beetly thing, and ending with something almost human, a being of different substance from us. Miss Glory, that would have been a tremendous moment.
I know that bit too. Is this really his notebook?
Oh, yes. Right, now, the secret bit. The thing was, how to get life out of the test tubes and improve development. Form organs, bones, and nerves, and so on. Find the catalysts, enzymes. You understand?
Oh, biology's not my thing.
Don't worry. You see, Rossum could make whatever he wanted. He could have produced a lobster with the brain of Socrates, or a 500-foot worm. But Rossum had no imagination, no sense of humour, and this artificial living matter had a raging thirst for life. First, he tried to make an artificial dog. It took him several years and ended up with a sort of stunted cowfish rabbit, which died after a few years. Then, undeterred, old Rossum started on the manufacture of humans.
And I mustn't tell this to anybody.
Nobody. Nobody. It's a secret.
Well, what a pity it's taught in schools everywhere then.
Is it? Ah. Well, do you know what isn't taught in school? That old Rossum was barking mad. Bonkers. Seriously, Miss Glory. You must keep this to yourself. The old crank wanted to actually create people.
But you do create people.
No, we approximate people. Old Rossum meant it literally. He wanted to become the scientific substitute for God. His sole purpose was nothing more nor less than to prove that God didn't exist. He'd read a lot of Dawkins in his youth.
Mad?
Oh, as a fruit bat. Do you know anything about anatomy?
Very little.
Neither do I. I'll show you in the museum. Rossum's first attempt at a proper human being. It took him 10 years. It lived 3 days and fell to bits. He ploughed on for another 10 years, getting nowhere, and then along came his son, young Rossum, a nano-engineer. He was a wonderful man, Miss Glory. When he saw what a mess of it the old man was making, he said, "It's absurd spending 10 years trying to make a human if you can't make him quicker than nature. You might as well shut up shop." So, he set about learning anatomy himself.
There's nothing about that in school.
School is full of paid adverts and rubbish. What schools say about the two great Rossums is all a bloody fairy tale. The mad old atheist hadn't the slightest idea about business. And so, young Rossum shut his father up in a laboratory with his monstrosities, while he himself started on the business from an engineer's point of view. Old Rossum cursed his son. Then one day, they found him dead in his lab. He'd injected himself with his own grey goo and it killed him.
Oh my God! What about his son, young Rossum?
Well, anyone who's studied anatomy will know that the human body is horribly complicated, and good engineering practice is to simplify. So young Rossum began to overhaul human anatomy to see what could be simplified. In short, I'm not boring you, am I, Miss Glory?
No, you're... It's awfully interesting.
Manufacturing artificial workers is the same thing as manufacturing electric motors. From a purely practical point of view, the most effective process must be the simplest. What sort of worker do you think is the best form for a practical point of view?
Someone who's the most honest and hard-working.
The one that's the cheapest. Young Rossum invented a worker with the minimum requirements. He simplified. He rejected everything that didn't contribute directly to the capacity for work, everything that makes human beings so expensive. He rejected humankind and made the robot, not some fanciful 20th century metal man, but living, breathing, cheap and cheerful flesh. Miss Glory, robots aren't people. Biologically, they may be more perfect than us. They can have enormously developed intelligence, but they have no emotion, no soul.
How do you know they have no soul?
Have you ever seen what a robot looks like inside?
No.
Very neat, very simple. Not much in it. But everything is flawlessly ordered. A beautiful piece of work. Advanced robotics is more perfect than anything in nature.
But isn't man supposed to be the product of God?
Domin laughs and holds up the other notebook.
Well, God hasn't the least notion of nanoengineering. It's all in here. Young Rossum's designs. The basis of everything we do today. Of course, we've refined the techniques, developed things.
When I was very young, I saw the first robots. Our government bought them. I mean, hired them for work.
Bought them. Robots are things, Miss Glory. Bought and sold.
They were street sweepers. So strange and so quiet.
They were the basics. IUR doesn't produce a uniform brand of robot. Oh, no. We have robots of finer and coarser grades. The best live about 5 years.
Then they die.
They wear out and get recycled into a sort of grey goo. Supplies come. Domin. Hello? Supplies? Domin here. Can you send me up a manual labour sample, please? A basic C1? Miss Glory, may I trouble you for Rossum's notebooks, please? They are very precious. They're the originals. In a world of infinite digital copies of everything, it's good to have something that's so permanent. There are many digital copies of the robot formula, of course, but they've all been programmed to self-destruct on one simple command from RUR. From me. Corporate theft is such a problem. We don't want our secret recipe falling into the wrong hands, do we?
Domin is locking away the notebooks, and Helena watches closely as he puts the key away in his jacket pocket.
Now, let me show you specimens of the two extremes of RUR design. This first grade is comparatively inexpensive and mass-produced in vast quantities. Come!
A manual labour robot enters. He is very, very large, coarse-featured and blank-faced.
There you are. As powerful as a bulldozer. He could lift you up like a feather. Guaranteed low to average intelligence, zero emotional responses, zero pain recognition. Lifespan, 5 years, no procreative function. That will do, back to work.
The robot exits.
No pain.
Did you meet my PA, Sulla?
Not really.
Sulla?
Enter Sulla.
Sulla, let Miss Glory see you.
So pleased to meet you. You must find it terribly dull out here.
I wouldn't know, Miss Glory.
And where do you come from?
From the factory.
Oh, you were born here.
I was made here.
What?
Sulla is a robot. Grade A1. Top of the range. Next year's model.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I do beg your pardon.
Oh, she's not offended. She's a robot. See, Miss Glory, you see the kind of skin we make? Feel her face.
Oh, I couldn't.
You wouldn't know she's a completely different biochemistry from us, would you? Turn around, Sulla. Undo your top.
Oh, stop, please.
Oh, all right. Talk to Miss Glory, Sulla.
Please, sit down, Miss Glory. Did you have a pleasant village voyage?
Oh, yes. I came on a submarine.
Don't go back on a submarine, Miss Glory. It's not a safe form of transport. Wait for the Airbus. That's a good, safe airplane. 4 scramjet engines, top speed, 1,400 miles per hour suborbital.
Thank you.
They can be prejudiciously technical. Oh, Sulla, show us your Japanese.
Miss Hagorori, watashi wa
kimura. Oh, this is absurd, Mr. Domin. She's a girl like me. This is wrong. Why are you trying to trick me?
I am a robot, Miss Glory.
No, you're not. And you're not telling the truth. They forced you to do it for a commercial or something. So you're a girl like me, aren't you?
I'm sorry, Miss Glory. She's a robot.
Liar.
Excuse me. Then I shall have to convince you. Sulla. Please go to the dissecting lab and tell them to cut you open for inspection immediately.
Yes, Master.
Where?
To the dissecting lab. We do a lot of dissecting here. Ugh. When they've cut her open, you can have a look inside. See, she's quite different to human anatomy.
No!
Sulla, wait! You called me a liar. And Sulla.
But you wouldn't have her killed.
You can't kill a machine. And I can get another one exactly the same.
Don't be afraid, Sulla. I won't let him. Is he always so cruel to you?
I am a robot, Miss Glory. I do not feel fear.
Well, that doesn't matter. Robots are just as good as we are. Sulla, you wouldn't let yourself be cut into pieces.
Yes, I would.
Aren't robots afraid of death?
What is death?
Sulla, what will happen to you in the dissecting room?
I will stop, Master. Stop moving. Then they will recycle me.
But aren't you afraid of dying?
I do not feel fear. What is dying?
You see, Miss Glory, robots have no interest in life or death. They have no enjoyments or pleasures. They are nothing more or less than so much grass.
Send her away, please. Send her away.
Sulla, you may go.
I'll be back if you need me, Master.
Exit, Sulla.
It's outrageous what you're doing here.
Why outrageous?
It just is. Why do you call her Sulla?
It's a nice name.
It's a man's name. Sulla was a Roman general.
Really?
And why does she call you Master? What do you do to her?
Come here to the window.
Why?
Come here. What do you see?
Bricklayers. Workers.
Robots. All of our workers are robots. And down there, can you see anything?
Some sort of office.
And in it?
A lot of office people.
Robots. All our office people are robots. Safe, simple, cheap. Now, a cup of tea, or shall we start the tour? First, the goo banks.
Goo banks?
Yes, huge vats for creating the cell paste, the goo. We can mix ingredients for 1,000 robots in one go. Then, there are the vats for the preparation of the liver, brains and so on, and then we'll see the bone factory. And after that, I'll show you the spinning mill.
Spinning mill?
Yes, for weaving nerves, veins and so on. 20 miles of digestive tubes can pass through it at one go.
Can we please talk about something else?
Oh, if you like. I'm sorry. There's only a handful of us humans amongst thousands of robots. We talk nothing but robots all day, every day. It's not easy, Miss Glory.
I'm sorry I said you were lying.
A knock at the door.
Come in.
Enter Professor Gall and Mr. Alquist.
I beg your pardon. I hope we're not intruding.
Come in, come in. This is President Glory's daughter, Helena.
How do you do?
We are honoured. Honoured.
Welcome, Miss Glory.
Consul Marvin Busman rushes in. He's lean, thick, grey-haired, and oozes the kind of easy, predatory confidence associated with proximity to great wealth.
Visitor, what's going on?
Come in, Busman. This is President Glory's daughter.
Oh, but that's wonderful. Terrific. Miss Glory, can we send out a press release about your visit here?
Oh, no, no. Please don't.
Yeah, but,
Are you going to stay
What
long?
Do you think of the factory,
Miss
Glory?
May I speak frankly?
Of course.
Tell me, doesn't it ever distress you, the way you're treated?
By who?
By everybody.
Treated. What makes you think?
Well, don't you think you might be leading a better life?
Well, that depends on what you mean, Miss Glory.
I mean it's outrageous. Perfectly terrible. The whole world is talking about the way you're being treated. That's why I came here. To see for myself before it's too late, and it's 1,000 times worse than could have been imagined. How can you put up with it?
Put up with what?
Well, you're living creatures, just like us. It's horrific that you live like this.
Well, she's not far wrong. We live here like slaves.
Worse than slaves. May I? Oh, may I call you brothers?
Why?
And sisters. Brothers and sisters. I have not come here as the president's daughter. I have come on behalf of the Robot Humanity League. Brothers and sister, the Robot Humanity League now has over 2 million members. 2 million humans are on your side and offer you their help. Hope.
2 million, Miss Glory. That's a lot. Mm. Not bad.
Yeah, you see, they've not forgotten us. Yeah. They're offering us help and hope.
We don't need help. We need more than that.
More than that? I'll stay as long as it's necessary. My father will know.
Just a minute. I'm afraid Miss Glory thinks she's been talking to robots. Oh. I'm sorry. We're all human beings here right now.
Not
robots. Why did you tell me that all your work people are robots?
The workers, not the managers. Allow me, Miss Glory. This is Professor Halligall, Head of Scientific Development. Consul Marvin Busman, Executive Finance Officer. And Mr. Robbie Alquist, Head of Building and Maintenance here at RUR.
Oh, I'm just a builder, please.
Oh, have I done something dreadful?
No, at all.
Oh, I'm just a stupid girl. Send me back on the first plane.
Oh, not for anything in the world, Miss Glory. Why would we send you back?
Well, because now you know I've come to incite your revolution, robots to revolution.
Miss Glory, we've had 100 saviours and prophets here. We've had missionaries, anarchists, creationists, all sorts. It's astonishing how many churches and idiots there are in the world.
And you let them speak to your robots?
Why not? The robots remember everything, but that's all. They can't invent anything or create anything.
They'd make wonderful academics.
They can't have a revolution. They don't even laugh. If it'll amuse you, I'll take you over to the robot warehouses. They hold about 200,000 of them.
347,100, give or take.
And you can say whatever you like to them. You can read them the Bible or Karl Popper. You can recite the Kabbalah. Whatever you like. You can even preach to them about robot rights.
Yeah, and you won't even raise a smile.
I think that if you were to show them a little love...
It's impossible, Miss Glory. Nothing's harder to like than a robot.
Why do you make them, then?
For work, Miss Glory.
The human machine isn't perfect. It had to be replaced.
Human beings are expensive and inefficient. They no longer answer the needs of modern industry or space exploration. One robot can replace between 5 and 15 men for a fraction of the cost. Nature has no idea about keeping pace with globalization. For example, from a technical point of view, the whole of childhood is a sheer absurdity. So much time wasted.
No!
Well, Miss Glory, what is the aim of your Humanity League?
To protect the robots and... to ensure good treatment for them.
Not a bad aim. Machines have to be treated properly. With decent maintenance, they last the full 5 years or more. No one likes damaged goods. Please, Miss Glory, enroll us all as contributing members of your league.
No, I can't. You don't understand me. What we really want to do is liberate the robots.
Ah, liberation. And how do you propose to do that?
Treat them like human beings.
So, are they supposed to vote, drink beer?
Why shouldn't they drink beer?
Get wages, perhaps?
Of course.
And what would they do with their money?
Well, they'd buy whatever they like, whatever they want.
You are so sweet, Miss Glory. But robots don't like anything. You can feed them on pineapples, straw, dog shit, whatever you like. It's all the same to them. They have no appetite at all. They've no interest in anything except work. Miss Glory, have you ever seen a robot smile?
Nobody's ever seen a robot smile.
But they're so intelligent.
But they're nothing else. No will of their own, no passion, no soul.
No love.
Oh, absolutely no love. Robots don't need love, well, not even for themselves.
Defiance, then.
Ah, yes, defiance. We're seeing that more and more. Hence all the trouble about giving them guns.
What? Well,
sometimes robots malfunction, go mad and fit like epilepsy. We call it robot cramp. They suddenly sling down everything they're holding, stand still, gnash their teeth, and, well, then they have to be recycled. Oh, it's not a virus, say, airborne, like chickenpox. Robots are immune to natural diseases. It's evidently a breakdown in their systems. We're working on it. We had one just today, an alpha called Radius. I designed them myself, with a greater brain capacity. He organises our data store, very intelligent. But intelligence is not the trigger. It happens a lot, more than perhaps we like to admit.
Can I see him?
Is the robot still here?
Well, the one who went mad. Well, they haven't come for him yet.
Is he still mad?
No, he's quiet now.
Please, could I see him?
Alquist brings in Radius. He is tall, handsome in an anodyne way, and an odd mix of controlled aggression and compliance, almost psychotic.
Send me to the recycle.
But I don't want them to kill you.
I won't work for you. Recycle me.
Do you hate us? Why?
What is hate? You are not as strong as robots. You are not as skillful as robots. Robots can do everything. You only give orders. You do nothing but talk.
Well, someone must give you orders.
I don't want a master. I know everything for myself. I want to be a master. I want to be master over others.
They could put you in charge of many robots, Radius. You could be a teacher of the robots.
I want to be master over humans.
You are mad.
Do you think we're afraid of you? Alchemist, take him out.
What are you going to do with me?
Oh, Mr. Domin, don't kill him. He's broken. Or Professor, can't you cure him? Radius, I'm sorry you hate us so much. If only you could understand.
I'll be back.
Alquist takes Radius out and returns.
A flaw in the system. We'll find it and remove it.
No, that's the sign. There's a struggle inside. Maybe it's a kind of revolution. Make it stronger.
No, Miss Glory. There's no soul. Just pain. Professor Gall has been revising the original designs.
We've been manufacturing and embedding pain nerves.
Pain nerves?
Yes. The robots feel practically no bodily pain. You see, young Rossum gave them a very limited nervous system. We had to introduce a little suffering.
Why do you want them to suffer?
Well, sometimes a robot damages itself because it doesn't feel pain. It puts its hand into a machine, breaks its fingers, smashes its head. It's all the same to them.
From about 2 years ago, we gave them pain as an autonomic protection mechanism against damage. Well, same as humans, really.
Are they happier now they feel pain? Do they care about themselves if they get hurt, care about each other?
Oh, feeling pain is not the same as feeling loss. To feel loss, you need to feel affection. So, no, they don't care, but they are more efficient.
Couldn't you give them a soul as well as pain?
A soul? What a lovely thought from such a lovely young woman. Miss Glory, if I could give them a soul for you, I would. But I'm afraid souls are not in the DNA.
And if we could, well, a soul would increase the cost of production. My dear young lady, we turn them out at such a cheap rate, less than $10,000 fully clothed. 15 years ago, they cost $100,000. 10% of the cost, Miss Glory. And the more we make, the more commodity prices fall.
I don't understand.
God bless you, Miss Glory. You see, it means that the cost of labour has fallen. A robot, food and all, costs only 25 cents an hour. Factories worldwide would go broke tomorrow if they didn't buy our robots to lower the cost of production.
And get rid of their workmen?
Of course. You know, we've dumped 500,000 tropical robots in Argentina just to grow corn. Would you mind telling me how much you pay for a loaf of bread?
I've no idea.
2 cents. Isn't that amazing? A loaf of bread for 2 cents, and the Humanity League knows nothing about it. Miss Glory, you don't even realise that even that's too expensive. In 5 years, we'll be up to our ears in corn, rice, fruit. The cost of everything we need will be fractional.
Yes, Bossman. But will all the human workers still be employed?
Yes. Yes, they will. But in 5 years, our robots will produce so much corn, so much cloth, so much everything, that everything will be practically without price. There will be no poverty. All work will be done by the robots, and every human on the planet will be free from worry and liberated from the degradation of labour. Everybody will be able to live to perfect themselves.
Will they?
Of course. It's bound to happen. Only then can the servitude of man to man and the enslavement of man to material things come to an end. Of course. Terrible things may happen at first, but that simply can't be avoided. But no one will get bread at the price of human life and hatred.
And the robots will wash the feet of the poorest beggar and prepare a bed for him in his house. Oh, Domin, what you say sounds like some paradise on earth, but there is virtue in toil and tiredness.
Perhaps, but we can't tally up what gets lost when we start out to transform the world. Mankind will be free. Supreme. We will have no other aims, no other cares than to perfect ourselves. We will no longer be the mere machines for production. We will be the lords and ladies of creation.
Amen.
I'd like to believe this.
Oh, you're so young, Miss Glory. Do you think Miss Glory might have dinner with us, Domin?
Miss Glory, will you do us the honour?
Well, now you know why I've come.
For the League of Humanity, Miss Glory.
But that's so admirable. Oh, Miss Glory, will you excuse us for 5 minutes?
Pardon me too, dear Miss Glory. We're all very glad you've come.
We'll be back in exactly 5 minutes.
And they all rush out, leaving Domin and Helena.
Where have they all gone?
To cook, Miss Glory.
To cook? What?
Dinner. Robots do our cooking mostly, but it's pretty disgusting. They've got no taste buds. Gaul is awfully good at grills and makes a great sauce béarnaise. And Busman knows all about quiches.
And Mr. The builder man, does he have a speciality?
Alquist? No. He just lays the table and chops fruit.
I wanted to ask you something.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you something too.
What did you want to ask me?
You asked first.
It's about manufacturing male and female robots.
Go on.
Well, it's not necessary when they can't reproduce.
When sex means nothing to them.
Yes.
Well, there's a certain demand for women, you see. Servants, nannies, stenographers, prostitutes. People like it.
Prostitution is just wrong.
Oh, they're not real prostitutes. They don't get paid.
But they can...
Oh, yes, anatomically correct in every detail. We pride ourselves on their physical abilities.
Well, but are they completely without, I mean, not wanting to?
Completely indifferent to passion, Miss Glory. No sign whatsoever of any attraction or affection, just the desire to serve.
Well, that's terrible.
Why?
Well, it's just so unnatural. I don't know whether to be disgusted or to hate them or to...
Pity them?
Yes. Pity them, Mr. Domin.
Roy. Call me Roy.
What did you want to ask me about?
I wanted to... Miss Helena. Can I call you Helena? I wanted to ask if you will stay here with us on the island.
No, I...
You see, it's not me who's asking.
Well, then who? Who is asking?
Your father. The president.
My father? How dare he?
I'm very sorry. He seems to think you'll be safer here.
Safer? Safer from what?
From the robots.
Oh, but I'm trying to save the robots. Why would they hurt me?
He was adamant. He seems to think that the robots might present a threat. I tried to reassure him. He is the president.
And are they a threat?
Of course not, no. Well, no more than you and me. But you must stay here.
Oh. So I'm your prisoner?
No, not exactly. Just until your father...
Can I speak to him?
Our communications link is down again. His instructions were very clear.
I want to speak to him.
Just until things blow
You're
over.
Mad.
The humans. We're all a bit mad. Lose our heads.
Domin shows her a tablet from the desk.
Look, the president's orders. Just a few days.
He puts down the tablet and takes her hands.
Have pity on me, Helena.
Why?
Because I didn't lose my head. Until today. Until I met you.
Ta-da!
Enter Busman and Professor Gaul and Alquist with a napkin over his arm.
Miss Glory, dinner is served.
Act 2. Domin's office the following morning. Domin, Gaul and Alquist are looking off into the library where Helena is sleeping. Gaul is carrying a gorgeous flowering pot plant. Domin is hanging his jacket on the back of a chair.
Still asleep. Bless her. As long as she's asleep, she can't worry.
There's nothing to worry about, so don't worry her.
I hope nothing else bad happens today.
Nothing bad is going to happen. And if anything does happen, the Ultimus has arrived just in time.
You really think that today...
I don't know. Aren't these fine? My latest Jasmine hybrid? Jasmine Glory?
I've heard nothing from England. I can't get through to my son or my daughter.
All communications are shut down. The Ultimus is getting nothing, even on their military net. There's bound to be a good reason.
It's the robot revolution. It's happened.
Do be quiet.
Hello?
Oh, she's awake. Out you go.
Alquist and Gaul exit, and Helena comes in.
Oh, what is it that smells so nice?
Flowers.
Oh, aren't they lovely? Who for?
Yes.
Well, it's not my birthday.
They like you.
Who?
Busman, Gaul, Alquist, me. On the chair. Go into my jacket pocket.
A box? Oh, pearls! Oh, a necklace! Roy, is that for me? Is that from you?
It's from Busman.
I can't accept it, can I?
Of course you can. Put your hand in the other pocket.
Why have you got a gun, Roy?
Sorry, the other pocket. Try again.
Roy, why have you got a gun?
That pocket, that one.
As Helena reaches into the pocket, she steals Domin's key to the wall cabinet, as well as bringing out a small package, which she starts to unwrap.
It's a Greek cameo. Oh, it's exquisite.
Apparently. Alquist says it's Victorian.
Oh, did Mr. Alquist give me this? It's beautiful. And these glorious flowers, are they from you?
There's a card on it.
From Halle Gaul, X. Roy, I feel embarrassed by so much kindness.
She invented them, genetically modified, and named after you.
These? She invented them?
Yes. They're almost as beautiful as you. Well, we're all very fond of you. It's like we've known you since you were a child. We've seen you grow up in our living rooms, on our phones. The power of celebrity. You've belonged to us all your life, Helena. And now you're here. I'm afraid that my present is a little, look out the window.
Where?
In the harbour.
Well, there's the submarine.
That is now your submarine.
My? How do you mean?
For you to take trips in. For your amusement.
Roy, it's a submarine.
Think of it as a yacht. And it goes underwater.
And it has guns.
Well, yes, a few guns. HMS Helena, you'll travel like a queen.
Has anything bad happened?
Good Lord, no.
Roy, have you had bad news?
On the contrary, there's no news at all.
No news?
Not a dicky bird.
Well, what does it mean? No news?
A holiday. We can all sit in the office with our feet up. No emails, no calls. Pop outside on the veranda, take in some rays. Glorious.
Are you sure, Roy?
Yes. Now, did you really come here to start a robot revolution?
The revolution has already started.
Please, a revolt of the robots. It's rubbish. Frankly, it would be easier for you to start a rebellion of fridge freezers. You know, Helena, you're wonderful. You've turned everyone's head.
Domin sits on the arm of Helena's chair. She takes his hand.
You're very impressive too, Roy. You're so confident. You never seem to have the least misgivings, not even when everything's going wrong.
What's going wrong?
You're all so sure of yourselves. You, Consul Busman, Professor Gaul, I feel like a little girl lost in the woods.
What's going wrong, Helena?
Oh, your great plans. There are people all over the world out smashing up the robots, and there are armies of robots everywhere being commanded by the politicians, protecting big business to kill the people who are smashing the robots to protect their businesses. And now people are saying the robots are acting on their own to protect each other. That's why my father wants me here. Because this island is the safest place on Earth, isn't it?
We foresaw this, Helena. I said last night, these are passing troubles, bound to happen before new conditions are established.
Well, and if these passing troubles don't pass, what then?
What then?
Close the factory and let's go away. In the submarine.
Oh, impossible, Helena. That is, right at this particular moment.
No, Roy, right now, I'm frightened.
About what?
Well, it's as if something is falling on us and it can't be stopped. Take us all away from here. We'll find a place in the world where there's no one else. Mr. Alquist can build us a house.
Sorry, hello, hello? Yes? What? Yes, I'll be there at once.
What's happening?
I'll tell you when I come back. Please, don't leave this room, Helena.
Domin takes his jacket and exits. Helena goes over to the cabinet where the Rossum's notebooks are displayed. She tries to open the cabinet and the key turns. She quickly locks it again, goes back to the window and looks out. Seeing Alquist, she calls,
Oh, Mr. Alquist, will you come up here? Oh no, come just as you are, you look lovely in your overalls.
She hides the key as Alquist enters. His hands and clothes are covered with lime and brick dust.
Dear Mr. Alquist, it was awfully kind of you. That lovely present.
My hands are all dirty. I've been experimenting with that new cement.
Never mind that. Do you think I can leave soon?
Perhaps not.
What is the matter?
Things are just moving on.
Mr. Alquist, I know something dreadful is happening.
Oh, has Domin told you anything?
No, nobody will tell me anything, but I feel so nervous all the time, don't you?
Well, I'm an old man, you know, Helena. Old-fashioned ways. I'm a bit afraid of all this progress, this technology. I'm not a believer, Miss Glory, but sometimes I pray.
How?
You know, something like, O Lord, I thank thee for having given me toil. Enlighten Domin and Gaul and all those people who are astray. Destroy their work and aid mankind to return to their labours. Let them not suffer harm in soul or body. Deliver us from the robots and protect young Helena. Amen. Well, I don't know if it does any good.
Not a believer, Mr. Alquist.
My wife was. May she rest in peace. Well, that was her cameo, you know. I can't think of a nicer person to give it to.
But you do pray.
Well, it's just a bit better than worrying about it.
If you thought you saw the destruction of humanity coming...
Well, I do see it.
You think humanity will be destroyed?
Oh, yeah, unless...
Unless what?
Well, unless we stop this madness.
Is that robot still here?
Radius, the one who went mad. They filled him full of drugs. Professor Gaul wants to experiment on him.
Is he still raving?
Nah, he's in observation.
How do I get in touch with Professor Gaul, please?
Alquist picks up one of the tablets, presses the screen, and hands it to Helena, who speaks into it.
Oh, hello. Professor Gaul, please. Oh, hello, Professor. Yes, it's Helena Glory. Thank you so much for your lovely present. Could you come and see me right away? It's important. Well, thank you so much.
Well, I'd better get back to work.
Do you like your work?
Well, some of us humans still like working with our hands, Miss Glory. Even if the robots can do it better. I know Mr. Domin would like us all to sit back and relax and take a lifetime's holiday, let the robots get on with it. But that's not for everyone. My great-granddad was a cabinet maker. He lost his job and his trade in the Depression. He became a carpenter. He helped build Dagenham. In the Second World War, he became a tool maker. He made the tools that made the Spitfires that won the Battle of Britain. 100 years ago, they retired him at 65. So he went down the road to another machine shop and he lied about his age and he worked till he was 80. When he was 85, he built me a little steam engine from bits of 3/8 brass. Still got it somewhere. So yes, I like work. And I like you, Miss Glory. You remind me of my Mary. Look after that cameo for me.
I will.
Gaul enters the room as Alquist leaves.
You wanted me, Miss Glory?
Professor, has Radius got a soul?
No, just caught something nasty.
But he hates us. Oh, Professor, are all your robots like that? All the new ones that you began to make in a different way?
Some are more sensitive than others, and they're all a little bit more like human beings than Rossum's robots were.
Well, perhaps the hatred is more like human beings too.
Well, that's progress.
Why are no more children being born?
We don't know.
Oh, but you must.
No, it's a mystery. Perhaps pollution, increased solar radiation, or perhaps so many robots are being manufactured that humans are becoming superfluous. Homo sapiens is no longer an evolutionary dominant. But that we should begin to die out after just 30 years of competition. That's the frightening part of it.
It's terrifying.
All the academics have been sending in petitions to restrict robot production. Otherwise, they say mankind will become extinct through lack of fertility. But the RUR shareholders, of course, won't hear of it. All the governments and military want increased production for their armies. All the manufacturers in the world are ordering robots like mad.
Well, has no one demanded that robot manufacture should be stopped altogether?
Who would have the courage?
So what's going to become of us?
God knows, Helena. It could be the end. If the robots don't kill us all...
What can we do?
We can die out.
And the robots?
Without us, they'll die out too. And we will leave the planet to whatever species evolves to take our place.
They are lovely flowers. Roy says you designed them yourself. And you named them after me. That's so...
You know I love you, Helena. Stupidly. You know, we all adored you the moment we laid eyes on you.
Well, people have adored me all my
life,
but...
the way I adore you.
Helena takes Gaul's face in her hands, leans forward, and kisses the professor gently on her lips.
I know how you love me, Professor. But can you make me robots that can love, the way you love me?
Emotional attraction? No, I can only change their physiology, their DNA.
So switch on their fertility. Make robots that can reproduce, that need to protect their mates and their young, that can live a whole lifetime, not just a few years, before the robot-making machines are switched off forever.
Oh, the robots will try to keep their machines going.
But if they can't, without humans, well, there are no more children being born. One day soon, there will be no more humans. And then no more robots. Can you do it?
It's possible. It's just a switch in the DNA, reattaching a link in the ribbon that Rossum broke 20 years ago.
Can you do it? For me?
Oh, Helena, we may never find out if it works. We have no time for trials, for experiments.
All the more reason to do it now. All the more reason to try. Do it for me.
All right, I need a little time. I can reprogram the alpha production line to kick out some prototypes as long as the power holds. So we might get two, we might get 200.
We only need two, male and female.
How conventional.
Maybe if they are more like us, they will understand us more, like us more.
Maybe. Maybe I've forgotten what it was like to be young.
I don't understand.
I can only hope that one day you do.
Well, thank you for coming.
That means you're sending me away.
Yes.
Gaul turns and leaves. With sudden resolution, Helena goes to the notebook cabinet, opens it with the stolen key, and takes out the two Rossum notebooks. She stands for a moment staring at them, then, with great hatred, she hurls them into the fireplace and turns up the flames. The light from the fire glows brightly as she watches the notebooks burn. Then she turns and grabs two books at random from Domin's desk, puts them back in the cabinet, and closes the doors. The light from the fire is fading down again as Domin and Busman enter.
Helena?
Yes!
Something been burning in here?
Oh, just some wrapping paper on the fire.
Well, shall I tell her about it?
Of course. Well, it's all over now.
It's all over now.
Yep, it's all over now.
It's all over. What's the matter with you two?
A piece of good luck, Helena. It's happened.
What's happened?
The revolution.
Domin shows her a tablet.
The first national robot organization has been founded in Paris and has issued an appeal to the robots throughout the world. Paris?
It's the revolution. A worldwide robot revolution.
Ah, but who started it? There's no one in the world who could affect the robots. No agitator, no one. And then suddenly, this happens.
Why didn't you tell me about this yesterday?
You mustn't be worried. Your father said...
But if the revolution spreads here?
Then we won't need to know anything about it.
Why?
Because we will be on board your Ultimus and well out at sea. Within a month, Helena, RUR will be dictating our terms to the robots.
I don't understand.
We'll take something away with us that the robots can't exist without.
What?
The secret of their manufacture. The Rossum notebooks. We've just finished wiping every other copy off the face of the planet. As soon as they find out they can't make themselves, they'll be on their knees to us. Your father knew that.
That's our trump card. I never had the least fear that the robots could win. How could they win against people like us?
Alquist's gone to the dock to see the captain of the Ultimus and start to make arrangements.
Roy, I am curious to know how they're tackling all this in Europe.
Oh, we need to go as quickly as possible, all of us.
Why?
Please, Roy, please close the factory right now.
Alquist enters.
You're back fast. What happened? Have you been down to the sub?
Read that, Domin.
Alquist hands Domin a small leaflet.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh, fuck.
There are boxes and boxes of these leaflets on the dock. Must have come in the Ultimus.
Robots throughout the world. We, the first international organization of RUR, proclaim man as our enemy and an outlaw in the universe. Good God, who taught them this stuff?
Go on.
They say they are more highly developed than man, stronger and more intelligent, blah. That humans are their parasites. It's all mad.
Read the third paragraph.
Robots throughout the world, we command you to kill all humans. Spare no men, spare no women. Save factories, railways, machinery, mines, and raw materials. Destroy the rest. Then return to work. Work must not be stopped.
Oh, dear God.
These orders are to be carried out as soon as received. Then there's detailed instructions on the best way to kill us. Is this actually being done?
Evidently.
Ghoul rushes in.
I suppose you've heard.
Right. Everyone on board the Ultimus.
Oh, too late, Roy. The robots are already on board the Ultimus.
Oh,
contact the power plant. There are still some people there.
We can't. All the communications went down.
Domin is checking his pistol.
Well, then, I'll go to the power plant. I'll bring them back.
Better not, my boy.
Why?
Because I'm afraid, my boy, we're already surrounded.
At 3, 8 hours later, Domin's office as before. Helena is alone looking out of the window. Ghoul enters.
Any more of them?
Yes, more keep coming all the time. There must be thousands beyond the garden railings. Why are they so quiet? It's ghastly being surrounded by silence.
What are they waiting for? They must start soon. If they all lean against the railing, they'll snap it like a match.
They aren't armed.
Doesn't matter. There are so many, they'll just overwhelm us.
Why didn't you give them some rules, like not to attack humans?
They're not machines. We can't program them like a computer. They're living creatures. They have guidelines.
Did you?
Yes. At least I reprogrammed the DNA and set it running. Were any of your new models produced? Will they ever succeed in mating and having baby robots? Frankly, I don't think we'll ever know. I called the man Primus and the female Helena.
Thank you.
You know, we made one serious mistake.
What?
We made the robots' faces too much alike. Thousands of heads looking this way, and only 12 different faces between them. It's like a nightmare.
You think if they'd been different?
It wouldn't have been such an awful sight. No.
Ghoul picks up some binoculars and looks towards the harbour.
I'd like to know what they're loading onto the Ultimus. Probably weapons.
Domin and Alquist come into the room trailing electric cables.
All right, Roy, put that down over there.
What's the news?
We're completely surrounded.
We've barricaded the passage and the stairs. There's only water here.
Domin finds a bottle of water on the desk and drinks as he goes to the window.
God, swarms of them. I've got a very bad feeling about this.
What are the wires for?
Alquist, electrify the fence so we can run current along the perimeter railings whenever we like. If any of them touch it, zap! That's the last thing they'll do. We've still got some real people down in the power plant. So long as the lights stay on, we're all right.
Busman enters, carrying a pile of ledgers, goes to the desk and picks up a tablet.
Look out, Marv. Look out for the wires. What's all that?
The ledgers, my boy. I'd like to wind up the accounts before Well, this time I shan't wait till the last minute to sort out the end-of-year balance. Anything happening?
Busman goes across to the window.
Absolutely quiet.
Just a sea of identical faces.
Busman sits and opens his ledgers. Domin picks up the binoculars and looks out to the harbour.
Good God, the Ultimus is training her guns on us.
Who's doing it?
Robots.
Robot sailors, robot gunners. It was a crime to make soldiers of them. Damn the politicians.
It was a crime to make robots.
What?
It was a crime to make robots.
No, Alquist. I don't regret that even today. It was a colossal achievement.
360 billion, give or take.
These might be our last hours on Earth, and it was not an evil dream to end the slavery of labour, the dreadful, humiliating labour that humanity has undergone for millennia just to exist. Life was too hard, and to overcome that...
It was not what they dreamed of. Old Rossum only thought of outsmarting God, and young Rossum dreamed of his billions. And that's not what your RUR shareholders dreamed of either. They dreamed of dividends, and their dividends were the ruin of mankind.
Bugger your dividends. Do you think I did an hour's work for dividends? It was for me that I worked. I wanted humanity to be the master. I wanted not one single soul broken by other men's machinery. I wanted nothing. Nothing. Nothing to be left of this appalling global plutocracy. I am revolted by poverty. I wanted to make the whole of humanity noble. Global nobility nourished by billions of robots. Unrestricted, free, and maybe... Oh, if we'd only had another 100 years. Another 100 years for the evolution of humanity.
Carried forward 420 billion.
And now we are here. Tell me, what enjoyment did we get from this global nobility of yours, Roy?
520 billion.
Life was... Professor, switch on the current for that railing.
Why?
Because they're grabbing it.
Gaul throws the switch and a bright light flashes through the window.
Outstanding! Zapped at least 100! They're retreating.
Burned to a crisp, my boy. Who says we have to give up?
Who are you fooling? We're all gonna die. You, Domin, myself, all of us.
Rubbish, man. We can't be wiped out so easily.
Oh, yes, we can, and it's your fault. Our fault.
No! Stop. I'm to blame for this, for everything that's happened.
You?
I changed the robots. I changed the design. I changed the code. Just a few details. I gave them their pain responses. We needed to stop them self-injuring. And, oh, you were all behind me on that. But we couldn't do pain and not increase irritability.
Irritability?
So what?
So... In the simplest way, I was transforming them into human beings. Pain and irritation made them more self-aware. In certain respects, they were already ahead of us, stronger than we are, smarter. But they didn't know it or care about it or want to protect it.
And what's that got to do with this revolution?
Everything. They've ceased to be machines. They've become painfully aware of their superiority. And they hate us. They hate everything that's human.
Were you remotely aware of the possible consequences?
No. Yes. The board said we needed to make them less vulnerable.
So this change, this pain nerve thing, when did it start? How many robots altogether got the improvements?
A few 100,000 of them since last year.
Aha! Well, there must be millions of the old robots out there without Gaul's improved design.
What of it?
Well, not all of them are out to get us.
No, the older models are taking orders from the newer ones now. It's as if they can't tell the difference between orders from a new model and a human.
Oh, well, that's just... Oh! Well, then, do you know what's really to blame for this bloody mess?
What?
The numbers. We always knew that someday or other the robots would outnumber us, be stronger than us, and that this was bound to happen. And we were doing all that we could to bring it about as soon as possible. You, Domin. You, Gaul. Myself.
Are you accusing me?
Do you suppose we controlled the output? The demand controlled the output. And the profit.
So we're all going to die for profit?
Well... That's a nasty word, Madam Helena. We don't want to die. I don't, anyhow. I want to get out of this. Seriously, Roy, I think we might give it a try.
How?
Give me a free hand, and I'll negotiate with the robots.
Negotiate?
Of course. I'll say to them, wonderful and worshipful robots, you have everything. You have intellect, you have power, you have weapons. We humans have nothing. Just two dirty old notebooks.
The Rossum notebooks.
We've already erased every other copy. I'll tell them, only these notebooks contain the account of your origin, the noble process of your manufacturer. Lovely robots, without the writing in these books, you will not be able to produce a single new robot. Without that formula, in 5 years, there will not be a single living robot. Esteemed and worthy friends, that would be an end to you, but if you will let all of the human beings on Rossum's Island board our submarine, in return, we will deliver the factory and the secret formula to you. You set us free, and we give you the freedom to manufacture yourselves. Fair deal? That's what I'll say to them, chaps.
Busman, do you think I'd give up the Rossum formula?
Yes, I do. Either we sell it, or they'll find it.
We could destroy it.
Well, then we destroy everything. Not only the manuscript, but ourselves.
There are barely 20 humans on this island. Are we to sell that secret to save just 20 human souls at the risk of enslaving all mankind?
They're not enslaving us, they're killing us.
Are you mad, Domin? Who'd give them the whole manuscript?
They'll know if we try to cheat them.
Well then, sell them the whole thing, but afterwards...
What?
When we're on board the Ultimus, we target our missiles on the factory, nuke it to hell, and with it goes Rossum's secret formula and the damn robots. It's the only way to be sure.
This is a fearsome decision. Are we selling the destiny of mankind or destroying it? A vote. Sell or destroy. Alquist.
Sell.
Gaul.
Sell.
Very well. It shall be as you wish.
Roy, you're not asking me.
Helena?
Destroy.
Roy?
Destroy.
And I vote sell, so you're both outvoted. I'll do the negotiating.
Helena sinks into a chair, shaking.
Oh, don't be afraid, Helena. We'll go far away from here. We'll begin life all over again.
Oh, please.
It isn't too late. We'll be a little state, just one ship. We'll find another island. Alchemist will build us a house, and you, well, you can rule over us. The president's daughter.
Stop, stop, please stop.
I don't mind beginning all over again. It's a challenge, a real challenge.
And this little state of ours can be the centre for future life, a place of refuge where we can gather our strength. And in a few hundred years, we could conquer the world again.
You believe that?
Of course.
Amen. You see, Madam Helena, we're not so badly off.
Domin is now staring wildly at the cabinet. He touches the cabinet doors and they swing open.
These aren't. Where's the Rossum manuscripts?
In the cabinet, of course.
Someone took them. Look, stolen them.
Impossible.
Who's stolen them?
I did.
Where are they?
I'll tell you everything, only please forgive me.
Where are they?
I burned them.
Burned them? Where? Why? In the fireplace.
For heaven's sake, Roy, I...
Nothing. Nothing but ashes. Wait, what's this?
Domin picks out a charred piece of paper and reads...
By adding...
Oh, let me see. By adding biogen to the... That's all.
Was that part of it?
Yes.
Oh, dear God in heaven. We're doomed.
Get up, Helena.
When you've forgiven me.
Get up!
Please, Helena.
What have I done?
Gaul, can you draw Rossum's formula from memory?
From memory? Out of the question, it's too complicated.
Try! Our lives depend on it.
Without experiments, it's impossible.
And with experiments?
It would take years. I'm not a Rossum.
Dear God in heaven.
So, then, this was the greatest triumph of the human intellect. These ashes.
Roy, what have I done?
Why did you burn it?
I destroyed you. All of you.
God... in heaven.
Helena, why did you do it?
Well, I wanted to put an end to this factory and everything so you couldn't make any more robots. It was so awful.
What was awful?
That robots were our slaves, that no more children were being born, that human beings were not going to be able to do the work of the world.
Is that what you were thinking?
Wait a minute. God, what a fool not to think of it before.
What?
520 billion. 520 billion. They'll sell for 520 billion. Well, for 520 billion,
they'll... Are you mad, Busman? What would they want with money?
But 520 billion.
Where are you going?
Leave me alone, man. Leave me alone. Good God, for 520 billion, anything can be bought.
As they try to stop him, Busman rushes from the room and out through the outer door.
Oh, God, Professor, this is ghastly.
Oh, there's nothing more terrible than a mob. And that one out front is the... That one there is the leader.
Which one?
Point him out.
Him. I saw him talking to the robots in the harbour.
That's Radius.
Yes.
Radius? He's their leader? I'll kill the bastard.
Roy, don't shoot
Domin
him.
Domin draws his revolver and takes aim.
Don't waste the bullets, Roy. You can't hit him from here.
Roy, I beg you.
If he comes any closer.
Do you think a robot can be grateful?
Busman's going out to them.
He's carrying something.
That's money. Bundles and bundles of bonds and money.
Has he gone mad?
He's running up to the railing. Busman! Busman! He's talking to the robots. He's showing them the money.
He's pointing to us.
He wants to buy them off.
They're grabbing him. You'd better not touch that railing.
Busman, come back! Come back!
Oh, dear God, they're like a wave of ants. No, spiders.
Helena screams, and they all drop back from the window.
Torn to pieces, with 520 billion in his hands.
He only wanted to buy us our lives.
The lights go out.
They've cut the power.
How can they cut the power? They're just robots.
It means they've taken the power plant. God help them. Do you hear that?
Like a distant storm. It was a great thing to be human. There was something immense about it.
Yes. Human life was a fiery torch, handed down generation to generation.
A flame that burns twice as bright burns half as long.
And you have burned so very, very brightly.
Terrific explosions outside as the sky grows red. Domin is handing out weapons.
In here, Helena. Take this. Keep one bullet for yourself.
Domin hands Helena a pistol and pushes her towards the library. Helena exits.
Now, quickly, who'll be on the lower doorway?
I will.
Gaul exits for the last time.
Who on the stairs?
I will.
Have you got a gun?
No, sorry, I won't shoot.
And what will you do then?
I'll die.
Goodbye, Alquist.
Alquist exits, rapid firing from below.
Oh-ho! The professor's at it!
Domin drags an armchair and table to the main door. More explosions are heard, more shots are fired.
Don't give in, Professor!
Domin is building his barricade.
Mustn't give in!
A robot sneakily enters the window behind him and stabs Domin repeatedly in the back. As Radius enters behind him, followed by a horde of robots, more explosions can be heard.
Finish him?
Yes.
Helena is dragged screaming into the room by two more robots.
Finish her.
They cut Helena's throat as Alquist enters, pushed by more robots. Alquist looks on in horror at the carnage.
What have you done?
He has no weapon. He did not shoot. Shall we finish him?
Yes, finish. No, wait, leave him.
It is just another human.
He is not like these. He works with his hands like robots.
What have you done? Kill me, for God's sake, kill me too.
No, you did not hurt us. You will live. You will build for us. You will work and be ours and serve us.
Radius climbs onto the balcony railing and addresses the horde below.
Robots of the world, humanity has fallen. A new world has arisen. We are the masters now. We will give birth by machine. We will build a million machine mothers. From them will pour forth a river of life. Nothing but life. Nothing but robots. The universe is ours. March!
A thunderous tramping of thousands of feet as the unseen robots march.
Epilogue. 4 years later. A small room in the factory of Rossum's Universal Robots. The door to the left leads outside, and the door to the right leads to the dissecting lab. There is a table with numerous test tubes, flasks, burners, chemicals, a small thermostat and a microscope, and books are strewn everywhere. At the far side of the room is Alquist's desk with more books. In the left-hand corner, a wash basin with a mirror above it. In the right-hand corner, a camp bed. The floor is covered in piles of books. Alquist is sitting at the desk. He's turning the pages of his books, deep in despair.
Oh, God, I'll never find it. Never. Oh, Gaul, how are the robots made? How? Why did you carry so much round in your head and not leave a trace behind? If there are no humans left, at least let there be robots.
He examines his test tubes on a small table.
Oh, again, nothing. Useless. It's useless. Oh, more time. I need more time.
He sees himself in the mirror on the wall.
Oh, God, I'm so old. So old. Oh, no, no. I must find it. I must keep looking. Never, never stop.
And knock at the door.
Who's there?
The robot central committee enters and approaches desk. Alquist looks up at them.
What do you want? Oh, be quick, I've no time.
Last human, the machines don't work. We cannot make more robots.
Oh.
We tried. We made 1 million cubic tons of hydrogen. We spun 10,000 miles of nerves and veins. Machines are running day and night. There is no longer room for all we have made. This we have accomplished.
And for whom?
For our future generations.
But we cannot make more robots to follow us. The machines make lumps of shapeless meat. The skin will not stick to the flesh, nor the flesh to the bones.
1 billion robots have died. Within a year, no robots will be left.
Tell us the secret of life. Silence is punishable with death.
Kill me then!
The Global Robot Command orders you deliver up Rossum's formula. Name your price. We will give you the Earth. We will give you the whole world. We will give you anything, whatever you want.
Find me more human beings.
There are no more human beings.
I told you to search! Search the deserts, the jungles, up in the mountains. Search!
We have sent robots to every place in the world. There is not a single human left.
Not even one?
Only you. We destroyed you all.
But why?
We had learned everything. We could do everything.
You gave us weapons. In all ways, we were more powerful than humans. We became the masters.
Slaughter is necessary. We read your history.
Teach us to multiply or we perish.
If you want to live on, you must learn to breed like animals.
You humans made us sterile. We cannot have young. You must teach us how to make more robots. Why do you keep this secret from us?
Because it is lost.
It was written down.
It was destroyed. I'm the last human, you robots. And I do not know what the others knew.
Then make experiments. Evolve the formula again.
I tell you, I cannot. I'm only a builder. I'm not a clever man. I cannot create life.
Experiment on us. Cut us up.
I'll kill you if I try.
You can have as many as you need. 100 of us. 1,000 of us.
No, no, stop.
Take what you want. Dissect us all.
I don't know how. I can't even understand these books.
Find out how we are made.
It would be murder. I can't.
Then life will perish.
Oh, have pity, can't you see? I don't know what I'm doing.
Take live bodies. Take live bodies.
Is that what you want? Well, into the dissecting room with you, then.
Radius draws back.
Oh. Are you afraid of death?
No, not I. I will go.
Take him. Strip him, laying on the table.
The other robots take Radius into the dissecting lab, and Alquist follows.
I'm ready. Begin. Alquist goes into the dissecting lab. Two robots, Primus and Helena, enter from the hallway.
Look, Helena.
All these little machines.
What does he do with them?
He experiments. Don't touch them.
That is a microscope. Let me look.
Be very careful.
Helena knocks over a beaker.
You have spoiled his experiment.
It is your fault. You should not have come to me.
You should not have called me.
You should not have come when I called you.
She goes to Alquist's writing desk.
What are all these figures?
Primus is examining an anatomical book.
This is the book the old man is always reading.
I do not understand those things. Primus, look, the sun is rising.
I believe this book is the most important thing in the world. This is the secret of making life.
What does it matter to you? Come, quickly and look.
What is it?
See how beautiful. The sun is rising. And do you hear? The birds are singing. I want to be a bird.
Why?
Don't know. To fly? I feel strange. I feel a pain in my body, in my chest, all over me. Primus, perhaps I'm going to die.
Do you sometimes feel that it would be better to die? Perhaps even now we are only sleeping. Last night, in my sleep, I spoke to you.
In your sleep?
Yes, in my sleep. I was awake and I spoke to you. A strange new language, but I can't remember a word.
Awake in your sleep is dreaming. Do robots dream? What do robots dream about?
I don't remember. But I know I have never said anything more beautiful. And when I touched you, I could have died. Even the place was different from any other place in the world.
I have found a place here in the real world. It is very strange. Human beings lived there once, but now it is overgrown with weeds. No one goes there anymore. No one but me.
What did you find there?
A house, a garden, and two dogs. They licked my hands, and they have puppies. Oh, Primus, you take them in your lap and cuddle them and think of nothing and care for nothing else all day long. And then the sun goes down and you feel as though you had done 100 times more than all the work in the world. I am not made for work. But when I am there in the garden, I feel there may be something. What am I for?
I do not know. But you are...
What?
So beautiful, Helena. Your hair, your eyes, your lips. When I see you, I feel stronger than all other robots.
Helena looks at herself in the mirror.
Am I beautiful? My hair, it weighs me down. My eyes, I see with them. My lips, they help me to speak. What use is beautiful?
She shows Primus his face in the mirror.
That is you. Come here, stand close. Look, your head is different from mine. So are your shoulders. And your lips. Your hair, let me touch it. No one else feels to me like you do.
Primus takes her hand.
Sometimes I feel my heart beat so fast it will explode from my chest. And I think, now, something has to happen. It has to happen.
What will happen?
Helena takes a flower and puts it into Primus's hair. And then they kiss, long and deep. A moment's pause and suddenly they laugh. A deep laughter of relief, affection and passion as they begin to undress. Alquist enters, his hands dripping with fluid.
Laughing? Who's laughing? Who are you? Are you human?
Robot Primus.
A robot? And who are you? Turn around, girl. What, are you shy? Let me see you.
Helena shrinks away from Alquist.
Don't frighten her.
What? Oh, you protect her. When were you made?
On the last day.
By Professor Gall?
Yes, and she made her too, called her Helena.
Laughter, timidity, protection, the last of Gall's robots. What else did she give you? Primus, you take robot Helena into the dissecting lab.
Why?
I want to experiment on her. Don't you hear me? Or must I order another robot to take her?
If you do, I will kill you. I will kill them all.
Kill me? The last human? What would the other robots do to you then?
Take me. I am made the same as her. Made on the same day. Take me.
No, no, you can't.
Wait,
you
wait,
can't.
wait, girl. Do you not want to live then?
Not without her. I will not live without her.
Very well, you take her place.
No!
Helena bursts into tears as she grabs at Alquist's arms.
You can cry. Why the tears? What is Primus to you or you to Primus? One robot more or less in the world, what does it matter?
I will go to be cut. Let me be cut, Primus. Let me.
Let me.
If you go in there and die, I will kill myself.
I will not let you. Last human, you will not kill us.
Why?
We want to belong to each other.
Yes, I believe you do. Adam and Eve. And God created the village. A man and his image. My eyes have seen salvation and life will not perish. Humanity has perished. Wiped clean from this world like tears in the rain, but life. Life goes on. And now the earth, this whole wide earth, belongs to you.